What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today here with Francisco Rojas. So this episode is for just a kind of a precursor here. This episode is for Monday, October 6th, but I am recording on Sunday a little afternoon right before the Eagles game starts. I have a lot going on this afternoon and night and tomorrow, too. So I won't have time to record. So I apologize if there's anything else, you know, news wise that comes out, anything else about the series that I'm not able to get to within the next, 12 to 24 hours or anything like that. I apologize. But did just recently get some news on Harrison Bader. You probably already heard it by now, but we'll update you the injury news on Harrison Bader for the NLDS. And man, I'm just gonna be honest with you, just from the jump here. I'm gonna try my best today to. I gotta vent though. I'm gonna vent. I'm gonna try my best to not be super negative all show, but also I can't help how I feel. And I hope that you can respect that, and I can respect you guys as listeners, how you feel, and everything like that. We're just going to, I'm going to recap game one, kind of give my thoughts on it. I know that we're all trying to transition to game two and, see how that plays out. I'm going to preview game two as well. And like I said, we will update you on Harrison Bader's injury. And then maybe go a little bit of around MLB and update you on the other series that are happening in Major League Baseball, at least at the moment that I'm doing this. But just to start, so Phils lose to the Dodgers 5-3 in Game 1 of the NLDS. Shohei Ohtani was really good on the mound outside of that second inning where he gave up a couple of runs. Outside of that, he was nasty, had 9 strikeouts on the night. Chris Sanchez on the other side. Chris was good. I thought Chris was really good outside of, when he left the game in the 6th inning and David Robertson came in and, a few runs were charged to Sanchez and... Sanchez gave up the 2-run double to Kike Hernandez, who Kike Hernandez is just a postseason monster. Just never gets old with Kike Hernandez, I guess. And outside of that though, I thought he was really good. His changeup was disgusting. Sinker was really good. Like stuff was really good. Pitch count was getting up there early in the game, but he settled in and was better. But I thought Sanchez gave you a good start, and then it was given to the bullpen, and David Robertson came in and finished up that 6th inning, and then went back out there, though, and gives up a couple of base runners, and Matt Strom comes in, and Matt Strom gets Ohtani out, gets Betts out, and then gives up that 3-run home run to Teoscar Hernandez. Where looks like if you go on Twitter, at least the warmonger tweeted it out on Twitter, that looks like he was tipping pitches. Not a great time to be tipping pitches when it's in the NLDS. Never a good time to be tipping pitches, but definitely in the National League Division Series. And then best moment that you had for the Phils to get back in this game was in that 8th inning. Edmundo Sosa comes in to pinch hit for Brandon Marsh, bases loaded, and does not get the job done, and flies out to center, and that is how it would end up. 5-3, Dodgers win. Here's how I feel, man. I don't even know. I thought maybe I'd be a little more angry on this pod. I guess it's just not surprising. I don't know. I've just been on such an emotional roller coaster with this Phillies team this year. I'm trying to stay as level-headed as possible. It's just hard because, going into the series, you think they're going to change. And then in game one, it feels like the same thing that we saw in the second half of the Arizona series and in the Mets series. And the overall thing for me so far, again, this is just game one. It's just game one. So I'm not going to look, they're going up against a really good team in the Dodgers. you know, record-wise, it is two of the best teams in baseball. Phils with 96 wins, Dodgers with 93 wins. Dodgers, obviously, defending champs. It just feels like, just through game one, for only game one, this team just doesn't play well under pressure. I think that's my overall like takeaway from game one so far, and hopefully that they can make me look stupid and make me look like, Francisco, why are you overreacting? But so far, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not going to try to go too negative and overreact too much, but again, Arizona, New York last year, it's just hard for me to not look at game one where the offense, besides early in the game, scoring three runs, and that was great, but besides that, did nothing the entire game. I think they had, what, a couple more hits after that? And the offense not coming up when they need them to. The offense, the top of the lineup, I mean, Bryce went 1-for-4, you know, had the one hit. Trey goes 0-for-3. Schwarber strikes out three times. So there's that, and then you have the bullpen where, look, man, I will respect if you want to do the whole, well, this game's on Rob Thompson. Look, I think there's a tiny bit of that. I don't know, man. Like, people were complaining about the Robertson thing. Well, Ranger should have came in. And, like, look, maybe Ranger should have come in. Maybe Ranger should have come in. Maybe that's possible. I get it, and, like, I can see that angle. But also, man, like, Rob Thompson's going to try his best to trust his guys. Rob Thompson, or David Robertson's not, like, a bad reliever. Yes, he's had, like, an okay season so far. But you go to Robertson, and then you go to Matt Strom, who Matt Strom has been good all year for the most part. Yeah, early in the season he kind of maybe had some struggles here and there, but ends up the season with a good season, you know, good numbers. And Strom comes in, strikes out Ohtani, gets Mookie Betts to pop up, and then you're facing Teoscar Hernandez, and Teoscar Hernandez takes him deep, and you want to play the whole matchups thing. Well, Strom's numbers this year against righties are better than they are against lefties. Righties are hitting 196 with a 265 on base, 320 slug, OPS under 600. The numbers against righties are good. And again, if you go on Twitter and look at the warmonger on Twitter's Twitter page, or from last night, has a picture of Matt Strom clearly showing his pitch grip while Andy Páez is on second base, and it looks like he's probably relaying a sign to Teoscar Hernandez that it was going to be that pitch that Hernandez took, that fastball up and away out to right center field for a home run. And that's not on Rob Thompson. That's on Matt Strom to not tip his pitches. It's not on Rob Thompson for Matt Strom to tip his pitches. It's not on Rob Thompson. So you could have gone to Ranger, fine, but at some point you're going to have to go to Matt Strom in this series. At some point, and his numbers are better against righties, so you want to do the whole matchup thing. Doesn't work because his numbers are better than against righties. Got Ohtani to strike out, got Betts, and then had a chance to get Teoscar, and like, fine. And not fine. It's not. But it's just, it's, and again, like, my whole thing is, like, at the end of the day, Strom was good all year last year, and Strom in the playoffs was not good. Strom was all good this year for the most part, and in the playoffs so far, not good. And it comes back to me, it's the under pressure thing. And I knew as soon as Strom gave up that home run, I was like, this team's not going to come back. They're down two runs now. Backs are against the wall. They're not going to get it done. This team just doesn't play well under pressure. The Mets beat them in game one last year, and you knew it. You just felt it. You're like, yeah, this doesn't feel right. This team, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a leadership thing or whomever it might be, it just feels like they don't play well under pressure. And again, I don't want to overreact too much because I still think, and now I'm going to get to this, outlook on the series. I still think there's potential they can win this series. As much as I felt really upset about last night, I'm still upset, even though the Eagles have a game right here in 25 minutes. As much as I want to see the Birds win, the Phillies really, and I, look, man, they just, the Phils, they are really upset. They can be in a really upsetting team because, you know, going back to 22, we've loved this roster and love these players. Really upsetting. But again, the outlook on this series, I still think there's a chance to win this series. For whatever reason, not for whatever reason, I think they can win depending on, and I don't want to get to the key, I'm going to get to the preview of game two in a second, but you know, hopefully behind a good Jesus Luzardo star, I still think they can win game two. And I still feel like, I feel like they could go back to Dodger Stadium, and I think they could take one of those two games. And then you come back for game five, and hopefully, you know, you have a good of a chance. It's basically a game seven, right? Technically game seven. It's an elimination game for both teams. Anybody has a shot. Anybody has a shot. But I don't know, man. It's just after game one, you just can't help but feel like I'm watching that game and I'm like, oh, this is the same Phillies team and nothing has changed. It's like you, it's like you've been dating the same girl or if any girls listen, or guy, for that matter, for months or years, and you expect them to change, and they're no longer, they're just going to continue to be that same person. They're going to continue to keep doing that same stuff that you thought that they would change. And they do it again, you're like, oh, why would I even expect anything different? And that's how I feel after game one. That's how I feel after game one. And if you're going to say I'm overreacting, fine. I just, it's the same feeling. It's the same. I knew as soon as that ball went out of the yard from Teoscar Hernandez, like, no, they're not coming back. This team, like, you know, the top of the lineup, they were 0-4. And you could just feel it. I'm sorry. And look, they have a shot in this series still, but I don't know, man. It's just the same thing from this team. And I'm trying to somewhat like protect myself here from potentially the same thing happening again. It's just same things with this team, man. But hopefully they make me look stupid, and maybe some of us, because I know some others are reacting this way too. But okay, so all that to go to Harrison Bader. So we do have an update from social media. I saw from Todd Zalecki, Phillies.com beat writer. And on Harrison Bader, who we thought might have a bad groin injury last night, maybe not bad, but potentially could knock him maybe a game or two out of NLCS, but it looks like it's going to be better than we thought, I think. But Rob, according to Todd Zalecki on Twitter, Rob Thompson said the imaging on Harrison Bader's groin revealed no strain or tear. They will know more tomorrow. That is on Monday while you're listening today. They're going to know more on Monday, but Thompson said Bader felt better after getting treatment following game one. So that is good news. Harrison Bader has been big for this team since the trade deadline. And, you know, hopefully he's going to be able to be in there for game two and the rest of the series and hopefully be a bit. I mean, he made a huge catch. I mean, he did what he had to do in game one. He had a sack fly to bring in JT in that second inning, and he made a big catch on that Páez fly ball out to right center. So, you know, Harrison Bader's been big for this team, and yeah. So that's an update for you on Harrison Bader's injury. Okay, preview for game two. Now, we're going to get Blake Snell versus Jesus Luzardo. So, looking back at the last two times these guys have pitched against these teams, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus faced the Dodgers, didn't have his best stuff. He did go seven and allowed four runs, allowed a couple of, you know, home runs, And it wasn't his best against the Dodgers like it was earlier in the season when, you know, Jesus, especially that first month or two, was one of the best pitchers in baseball for sure. And Lizardo against the Dodgers at home, which this, you know, this game two is going to be an at-home start for Lizardo, at home last time, 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, you know, in those, in a good, you know, again, the 7 innings of work, it was really good for Lizardo. So hopefully we can get that type of Lizardo. And on the other side for Blake Snell, the last time he faced the Phillies this year, the only time he faced the Phillies this season as he was coming off an injury, because he only had 11 starts this year. But Snell against the Phillies last time, Phillies could not touch him. And the Phillies were good in those first two games of the series against the Dodgers. But in the last one, Blake Snell shoved. 7 innings, 2 hits, 12 strikeouts, only allowed a couple of walks. He was really good. It looked like vintage Blake Snell, and hopefully the Phils don't get that type of Blake Snell, but also it's up to the offense to try to get things going. So, I mean, what I'm watching for in this game is obviously both of these starters. How long are they going? How can Lizardo give... Can he give you that type of stuff? Like, which Jesus Lizardo are we going to get? I mean, also, like, Lizardo doesn't have really too much postseason experience. He really only has the one start against the Phillies. I lied. He also pitched for Oakland a couple of years ago in the playoffs. But from the last time he was in the postseason was a couple of years ago for the Marlins. And I was there for that game one of the wild card series where Lizardo, he was okay. He allowed like 3 runs in 4 innings. It wasn't his best stuff. But Lizardo, now pitching in this game, hopefully we're going to get the Lizardo, that was really good this year. I mean, honestly, like you look at Lizardo's numbers this year and they actually ended up being pretty good. ERA under 4 and in 32 starts, he had a 216 strikeouts. He had a 290 FIP. Like those are still good numbers. But Lizardo versus Snell, and that's going to be a big one, but it's also going to be up to the Phils. I mean, really like keys to this, to a win is they get to Snell early, and this offense needs to get to Snell, get into that bullpen. I mean, it's not like they didn't get into the bullpen yesterday, but, you know, Glass now went behind Ohtani, and then they went to Vezia, and then Roki Sasaki, who looked disgusting. It didn't work out for the Phils. So hopefully they could have gotten to Ohtani earlier. It looked like they could have gotten to him earlier than that, earlier on in the game where they were touching him up early, but unfortunately, Ohtani was able to kind of settle in, and that's one thing you don't want Blake Snell is to just settle in like he settled in last time he started against the Phillies. That's what you don't want. That's what you don't want, man. And again, I really want the Phillies to prove me wrong. I really don't think they just play well under pressure. Again, 2022, house money to the fullest. 2023, tiny bit more expectations. The Diamondbacks put them up against the wall a little bit, and that happened. And they lost in 7. New York had expectations, 95 wins, won the NL East, had a bye. Mets were playing with house money, same thing. And I know the Dodgers are still a good team, and if they lost this series, it's like, okay. But there's still expectation for this Phillies team, though, for this Phillies team. And I don't know, man. It just doesn't sit right with me with this team. I really want them to prove me wrong. And I know I said I didn't want to be negative. I know I've been negative a lot of the show, and I apologize. It's just tough because it just doesn't feel right watching this team. But again, I really want them to prove me wrong. I've never really been through an emotional roller coaster I've been through with this team, like this season, I feel like. I've never felt like, yeah, I don't know, man. But yeah, so just before we get out of here, a little bit of around Major League Baseball. And in the other three DS games, the Brewers just absolutely obliterated the Cubs 9-3. I mean, just getting on them early. And I mean, early, that offense. I mean, score all nine of those runs in the first two innings. They got Matthew Boyd out of there quickly. And Freddie Peralta on the other side, pretty good. Similar line to what Chris Sanchez had for the Phils in that in game one as well. And Toronto, they obliterated the Yankees 10-1. Detroit and Seattle was easily the best game one of the weekend so far. Detroit taking it in extras. Kerry Carpenter going deep off George Kirby. He is now 5-for-5 in his career against George Kirby. And guess what? All home runs. Pretty baseball stat. We love that. So Kerry Carpenter hit a home run off George Kirby, and the Tigers end up winning in extras in the 11th inning. So the Tigers winning 3-2 over the Mariners. Okay, that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Again, I want to apologize for being... I try not to refrain from just being Mr. Negative. I try to refrain from that, and I know sometimes I am Mr. Negative, but this team, I just... can't get away from feeling negative about this team. But I want you to cheer me up. You can all tweet me at @Rojas_media_. Birds got a game today, so I'm going to try to get excited for that. We do have a 4-0 Eagles team, and hopefully they can make me feel better about life just a little bit. But so invested in this Phils team, and it's tough, though, man. It's tough when they do this type of stuff, and it feels like it's the same stuff over and over again. But hopefully they're going to make me look stupid and be a different team and just – be better, and hopefully we can get a game two win so we can go back to LA and try to split there as well and bring back for a game five, or just win both games in LA and just win them four. But that's gonna do it for me, Francisco Rojas. I will talk to you guys soon. Stay tuned for everyone else that does a great job on the channel.